Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Doug Karshgater out today, 248-539-9797. Phone calls and feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. All right, we're getting bridge texts. Doug, would you rather take a hot air balloon across Lake Michigan or drive over that bridge? That's from Mike and Fenton.
That's easy, right, Doug?
Bridge.
Yeah, all day.
Yeah. They're putting a gas station and a Starbucks on that bridge just for you, Doug. That's from Rich in Waterford.
Yeah, depends if pumpkin spice lattes are at that Starbucks.
I think there's a problem with my app. Building a bridge across the Great Lakes is filled with numerous engineering, logistical, and political problems, but still ways easier than understanding how women think. That's from an unnamed texter. Lake Michigan is 950 feet deep. Google it.
So it'll be a tall task.
The Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel in Virginia has a restaurant with a fishing pier midway on a bar on the bridge. We can't even get our roads to working condition. This bridge would cost infinity dollars. Good idea, though. That's from Sean in Livonia. 248-539-9797. Brandon's in Shelby, and he is next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brandon.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
We're doing great.
Cars, they're going to build you Starbucks in the middle of the Gordie Howe Bridge as soon as that opens.
Okay, I'm down with that. I spent not a lot of time in Canada, but I got relatives there. I go to Canada.
It's going to be a Tim Hortons, not a Starbucks.
Yeah, that's Come right. On. It probably would be a Tim Hortons.
So right now it seems like all the young guys are betting 250 or above with contact. Like they're drawing walks. They got some speed. But there's always that second year where the pitchers adapt, like, because at first, they don't look at them like they're serious. So they're like, oh, these young guys can't do anything. But next year, if they take them seriously, are they going to drop or are they going to keep where they're going?
So I don't know if it's that they don't take them seriously, but they don't have a lot of, you know, I mean, baseball is the road to success is filled with trapdoors and grenades. Like the moment they figure out that you can't lay off this pitch, you can be done, you know? And so there's not a lot of scouting intel yet on these young Tiger hitters. So I hear what you're saying. Now, like, Torque has been around. So there's a lot of intel on Torque. And Parker Meadows has been around. There's probably a lot of intel on him and Riley Green. But, you know, Trey Sweeney or Jace Young, those guys are just got here. So it could be an issue. I mean, the thing about it is Torque was looking super productive and like he was going to be here to stay. And then this year he spent a couple months in the minors, right? So the idea that anybody else has arrived yet, when we just saw how long it took for Torque to kind of get back, is, I mean, there's a long way to go, but these are fun games and early returns. But you're right. There's still some challenges ahead.
If these young hitters are going to do next year what they do now, we have a good team for a while because, I mean, it's cheap money, like a lot of young players, and if they're going to spend some money. But, I mean, if these young players keep it up, not only do we have a young team, but, like, we have people under contract.
Yeah, they do have people under contract. And look, I mean, the thing that sucks is they got a $75 million anchor. And I would like to see I have a hunch he played his last game in Detroit. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to have to pay most of that contract. And that's just a big – I mean, it's a huge tax to pay. And if you're going to make a splash in free agency and eat the Baez contract, we're talking about an extraordinary amount of money that needs to be spent. But I want an owner and a GM that are okay with spending an extraordinary amount of money. Hopefully the kids justify that being the case. Hopefully the kids can say, look the way they finish the season, basically sending the message, just fill in the gaps here and let's go. Fill in the gaps and let's roll.
Well, one of those gaps was, do we have a first baseman?
Yep.
You know, do you think by the end of this season, Doug, you'll be able to answer that question?
So if he plays like this, and I would go with yes. Not because I'm sure, but because he could be the answer. And I would use resources to address other needs. A trade, a free agency, I would go after starting pitching. I would go after a shortstop. I would go after a lot of pitching and a shortstop. Because he could be the answer at first base. Could be the answer at first base. 248-539-9797. More ticket tax. This on Hendon Hooker. Not having a seasoned backup quarterback is like driving your car with no insurance. Bad things can happen.
Does your backup quarterback have to have experience, Doug?
When you're trying to win a Super Bowl, I think it does. But this is like the first pseudo-pro Sudfeld text or response we got. And what's hard to quantify is how important is that experience in a regular season game? Because as much as we've taken a call, so, Hendon Hooker look even better with the starters. So would Nate Sudfeld. So would Nate Sudfeld. Now, Sudfeld, when this is all said and done, Sudfeld still could be in the mix. They might have gone with a percentage play here, right? This might be the strategy today. We want to keep three quarterbacks, but we also have other positions where we want to hang on to a guy here, a guy there. And so we're going to release the guy we don't think is going to get picked up on waivers that we can put on the practice squad. And we'll do that with the idea that if Goff gets hurt in a game, we'll just go with Hooker to finish the game. Then we'll call Sudfeld up if it's a long-term injury. And those two will be competing for who gets the start if Goff is out for an extended period of time. That may be the plan. Right now, it's hard to know. They could lose Sudfeld out of this whole thing. But I continue to say it. I think the organization's priority should be winning the Super Bowl, not developing young players. You can win the Super Bowl, try to win the Super Bowl, and also be developing young players, but that should not be a priority. The priority should be winning the next game. Things are different now. This is the first time in forever that we can say we're playing for the now, not the future. And I think it's great to have $38 million, $38.5 million in cap space. And I think it's great to take that to the trade deadline. And I think if you take it to the trade deadline, you can add a Devontae Adams. If the Raiders stink and he wants out, you can fit him under the cap. Just as an example. Kevin writes in, would be totally pissed if we make the playoffs and lose because we traded away Flaherty. Yeah, I mean, I get it. The question is, with Canna and Urshela and that crew, were they going to make the playoffs, or are they only making the playoffs because they cleared way and added young pieces, and that this young core might be good enough to make the playoffs? I don't think so. But that's weird that they only have two teams between them and a playoff spot. They're 6.5 games out. They're one of the hottest teams in the American League, and only two teams have easier schedules the rest of the way. I keep thinking back to that St. Louis Blues team that was the worst team in hockey at like the mid-season point of the NHL season. They went on to win the Stanley Cup.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. I wonder when they, because I bet in St. Louis, everybody wrote them off. And at some point, they got people's attention. Now, hockey's different. You get a hot goaltender, right? But
did they sell at the trade deadline? I don't remember the details of that team.
I don't remember either. But at some point, the fans were like, you know, this team. But that's obviously the exception and not the rule. But I'm not going to be mad if they don't make the playoffs. This team is not going to let me down.
Not at this point,
because
right?
Because what they're doing is, the most important thing they might be doing is establishing a young core.
Well, I think what happened was the first half of this year, they let you down.
Yep.
But now that expectations, I think things have changed, of course, and now different players are here than what they started the year with. They're doing so well that, yeah, not making the playoffs is not a letdown.
No.
That's no longer the goal. That'd be a...
I mean, they would, not, They would have to get to, the only thing they could do to let us down is if they keep, they quickly rise to the top of the wild card chase, get into a playoff spot, and then choke it away. I don't think there's enough time left to do that. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Get her out today. 97.1 The Ticket.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.